All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Not all of our minisodes need to be from listeners. In fact, places or lesser-known cases can sometimes take us to dark realms. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to your first video edition of Dark Realms. Now, if you're listening on the podcast, just hop over to YouTube, type in youtube.com/thedarkparanormal, and hopefully you should see this edition of Dark Realms there for you to view. And at the same time, if you're viewing this on YouTube and you fancy the idea of listening to the Dark Paranormal podcast, which is where this sprang from, if you will, then head over to wherever you get your podcasts and search for the Dark Paranormal. And on perfect timing, on episode number one, my cat has decided to join me. Come on. Are you coming up? This doesn't usually happen in Dark Realms episodes.
Come on. Come on.
There she is. Everyone say hello to Nova. This is Nova. And she shouldn't be interrupting recordings like this. So I'll let her off because it's the first video one that we've ever done. And obviously, if you're listening to this on audio, you're probably thinking, why is he talking about a cat instead of what he should be talking about, which is today's Dark Realm. Now, today's Dark Realm is a truly fascinating, beautiful place. It's not even one place, it's a myriad of places, making the greatest labyrinth, arguably, in the UK. It's one of those places for me that if you go to London, you're going to inevitably have to use the tube. But you never really stop to take in the beauty, the architecture, literally the changes in decades and the scenery around those places. The underground, the tube, whichever you want to call it affectionately, one thing is certain, it's the world's oldest underground railway system. It opened its first line, the Metropolitan Railway, on January the 10th, 1863, and it was born out of London's need to ease congestion on the overcrowded streets. It was envisioned by city planners and engineers as some way to move those large numbers of people around the city beneath the surface. And the construction was cruel. It was grueling and it was deadly. They were using cutting clay methods, a way of making a tunnel that can make everything collapse onto you. Something that took place more often than people probably know, because that surface, they had to dig through sheer rock. They had to dig through plague pits using these standard methods. The system expanded rapidly when electric trains came along and replaced the steam locomotives in the early 1900s. It revolutionised urban travel, and over time, brilliant minds like Charles Yerkes, Frank Pick, helped shape the network, not just in terms of engineering, but also its iconic design and the signage we all know today. The Underground spans 272 stations and 250 miles of track. It's an enduring testament to the visionaries who dared to take London beneath the streets. London's Tube is not only rich in history, in beautiful varying designs of the day as stations were added throughout the eras, but if we believe the legends, especially about the four stations we will look at today, we are talking about some very, very beautiful but dark realms. These seem to be a mixture of tragedy, folklore, and the occult, converging in a transport network under the capital city, which all seem to firmly cement the tube system as a dark realm. we'll begin with Covent Garden. Covent Garden was designed by Leslie Green and opened in 1907 as part of the Piccadilly line. Now, despite a near closure in 1929 due to low ridership, it managed to survive and is now counted as a Grade 2 listed building because of its historical value and just how beautiful it is. However, from when it opened, whispers began. Whispers from staff who'd seen or heard this spectral visitor in the tunnels. The station is haunted by the ghost of a William Terrace. Terrace was stabbed to death in 1897 outside the nearby Adelphi Hotel by none other than the understudy for his role. In life, he often used to buy snacks at a bakery that's located where Covent Garden Station now is. Maybe that's why he likes to roam these passageways. But that seems very unlikely. Terrace's tall, cloaked figure has been seen by numerous staff roaming the empty platforms. Causing such a fear within the staff, some employees have even gone as far as requesting transfers to either another station or another shift so they don't work at night. I saw a tall man wearing a grey suit, a funny collar, white gloves, looking at me from the anteroom. The thing disappeared. No one was in the passage and there was not a sound of footsteps. That's a quote from foreman Jack Hayden, describing his 1955 encounter with a Covent Garden ghost. In one terrifying episode from the 1950s, staff even held a séance to try and identify the restless spirit. A London Underground foreman, who also considered himself something of a spiritualist, sketched the apparition's features. When everyone was shown photographs of Terrace, they all exclaimed, "That's him." To this day, Terrace's ghost is blamed for inexplicable events, footsteps, an oppressive atmosphere, all taking place in the Covent Garden passages. Those who've seen the figure describe an unsettling silent apparition in old-fashioned clothing, cloaks, gloves. It's said that Terrace's spirit may be seeking revenge for his untimely death. Or maybe continuing his old routine, going to that bakery that once stood there. Either way, the sight of this gentleman ghost in the dim shadows has terrified some people so much they've literally resigned. We could think of Terrace's apparition as merely stone tape theory, the idea that some activity, i.e. his death, has found its way into the walls, seeped into the history of the surrounding area. And if the conditions are right, he will arrive and show himself to whoever. But given the fact the foreman's quote says he looked at him directly, that would imply sentience. So who even knows if we're dealing with Terrace's ghost or something darker taking the form of Terrace. Now let's move on to our next station, Farringdon Station. Now this Victorian station was built near the Chick Lane area, notorious for crime, and not all of Farringdon's history is proud, shall we say. Beneath its tracks lies a grim tale. Anne Naylor, a 13-year-old hatmaker's apprentice, was murdered in 1758 by her cruel employers, and her body discarded on this spot. Soon after the station's construction, people reported unnerving things, screams echoing through Farringdon's tunnels. According to London lore, they are the death cries of Anne, also known as the Screaming Spectre, replaying endlessly in the darkness. Over the years, countless passengers and staff have all claimed to hear the horrific screams of Anne, to the point that even grown men have been left shivering. Some travellers refuse to linger on the platform. One author notes that if you stand on the platform, alone, at night, you may hear Anne Naylor's shrieks, echoing down those empty and dark tunnels. Witnesses describe the scream as sounding very faint to begin with, growing ever louder like an oncoming train before becoming a deafening cacophony within your own ears. Yet whenever inspectors search for the source, They find nothing at all, no living sound. The sound isn't due to any delays on the line, said one investigator. And the backstory of Anne does make it not only more unsettling, but much more terrifying. Let's have a quick break to ask you a personal question. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. Our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare. You would not believe the amount of things that can mess with our hormones. Even nature likes to put us through hormonal changes, premenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean you're meant to suffer through it. And the good news is, you don't have to suffer through it anymore because we now have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with only herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement, it's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony sells every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their over 30,000 plus reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DARKPARANORMAL at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code DARKPARANORMAL for 15% off today.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
You see, where she was an apprentice, she was beaten, starved, and finally killed, and her body dumped where the station now stands. Some say it's her restless spirit that can't move on. Farringdon's phantom doesn't appear visually. Instead, it pierces the silence with an agonized wail. For anyone who hears it, especially in the dead of night, as you could imagine, it's a harrowing experience, especially alone. It brings with it a brush of centuries-old crime. Paranormal researchers often cite this haunting as a classic example of a residual ghost, a traumatic event replaying itself over and over again, or stone tape theory, as mentioned with the Covent Garden ghost. Either way, it's horrific to think of how people, especially children, were treated back in those days. But I think we're starting to move into the two darkest underground stations of the Tube. Because next, we're going to look at Bank Station. And if there was ever a name given to a spectre or a spirit, that definitely had the potential to strike the fear of God into anyone, it would be the spectre that allegedly haunts Bank Station. And her name is the Black Nun of Threadneedle Street. Bank Monument is a labyrinth complex in the city. It was first opened in 1900 during the expansion of the underground itself. Bank Station is named for the Bank of England, which sits directly above it. And its tunnels weave beneath the sites of old churches, crypts, The station's history is so scarred by tragedy. It was built over a plague pit, a mass grave from the 17th century, and later struck by a World War II bomb in 1941, killing 56 people. So maybe it's no surprise, then, that Bank is steeped in this supernatural lore. The most famous apparition here at Bank is Sarah Whitehead, the Black Nun of Threadneedle Street. In 1812, Sarah's beloved brother, Philip, a Bank of England clerk, was executed for forgery. Heartbroken, Sarah began haunting the bank's courtyard daily, dressed in black mourning clothes and asking for her brother. She apparently kept this up for years and earned the nickname the Black Nun. In her death, her sorrow supposedly continued beneath the streets. And since the 19th century, both passengers and staff at Bank Station have all reported seeing a woman dressed in antiquated mourning clothes, complete with veil, shimmering through the station's dimly lit passages. Then there's a putrid smell that sometimes wafts through the tunnels with no earthly explanation. It often comes with an overwhelming sense of despondency and depression. Those who encounter the figure of Anne describe her as silent and grieving, forever seeking her lost brother. One worker believed he'd spotted an old lady in the station, so he goes over to them, given the early hours of the morning. He thought she'd have been locked in, which can happen. He tried to catch up with her, only for her to disappear down a corridor which had no escape. Employees of Bank Station have encountered knocking on the walls, wailing sounds echoing along the deserted platforms. The Black Nun's mournful spirit is said to drift between Bank Station and the Bank of England above, for they too have seen a woman dressed in funeral attire, with a veil across her face, in eternal grief. Folklore holds that Sarah's ghost cannot rest because she was buried on unconsecrated ground, that ground being Bank site itself. Indeed, 19th century bank clerks claim to have seen her in the bank's garden, kneeling and sobbing, before vanishing into thin air. Today, those who hurry through the Victorian tunnels of Bank Station may notice a chill in the air, or they may taste a whiff of decay, without so much of a second thought. Unlike more violent ghosts, Sarah doesn't seem to do any harm, but her eternal sorrow and the station's tomb-like atmosphere definitely make Bank one of London's most unnerving stations. Some even say the whispers of restless souls, from the plague victims to the bombing, which all took place at Bank, is a gathering point for a dark paranormal energy, seemingly amplifying the nun's presence. Our final station in our trip around the dark realm, which is London's underground, is no longer in use. It is the abandoned station at the British Museum. And it is about the mummy's curse. In the tunnels deep under Bloomsbury lies the defunct British Museum station. Opened in 1900 and closed in 1933 when nearby Holborn station was expanded, though trains no longer stop here, this ghost station has perhaps the underground's most malevolent legend. It's said to be haunted by an ancient Egyptian entity, a curse carried from the museum above. According to the tale, a secret passage once linked the station to the British Museum, the Egyptian collection to be specific. Through that tunnel roams the ghost of an Egyptian princess, often called Amun-Ra. Her mummy board, or coffin lid, known as the Unlucky Mummy, resides in the museum, item EA22542, infamous for supposedly bringing misfortune. Disturbed from its tomb in Thebes and put on display, the spirit grew enraged. Soon after the station opened, commuters and staff began hearing horrifying sounds from the empty tunnels. Witnesses would describe a woman in ancient dress, loincloth and pharaoh-style headdress, screaming in wrath beneath the city. This apparition was said to appear and vanish suddenly, her face a ghostly mask of rage. The woman would terrify staff and passengers with the most horrendous shrieks, shrieks that would resound along the tracks through the tunnels and reverberate down the corridors. That was a report on the malevolent ghost of the British Museum station, known as the Princess of Amun-Ra. The press sensationalised the haunting in the 20s, dubbing it a mummy's curse. In fact, no one ever claimed the reward to spend a night in the station. No volunteer ever dared to face the screaming spectre. In 1935, a popular film, Bulldog Jack, featured a fictionalised version of the station with a secret mummy tomb, further cementing the legend. Eerily, on the movie's premiere night, rumours swirled that two women vanished from Holborn Station, and strange marks were later found on the walls of the abandoned British Museum stop. Newspapers never proved this, but it fueled the myth. And for decades afterwards, late-night Holborn travellers would report muffled moans, as if the princess's ghost was still wandering around. Historians are sceptical. One 1932 article suggested that this might have just been an optical illusion from a museum mummy case, maybe reflecting in the light. But the legend persists. Today, Holborn Station, which replaced the British Museum station, still has staff and passengers who do claim to hear inexplicable screams in the tunnels. Occult enthusiasts link the site to the British Museum's collection, the collection of cursed artefacts, and London's broader fascination with Egyptology, not least the tale of the unlucky mummy, which was even falsely blamed for the sinking of the Titanic. The British Museum station's ghost story is a classic blend of that mummy curse folklore with the very real eeriness of a derelict underground stop. Now, whether one believes it or not, the idea of a vengeful 3,000-year-old spirit shrieking beneath London streets, well, that's enough to send a shiver down anyone's spine. The legends of these four stops have all accumulated a legacy of terror that reflect London's layered history. From a murdered actor, abused child, a grieving nun, and an ancient princess. These ghosts, their personality, their tragedy and injustice from eras past is what makes these hauntings especially compelling. The way they intertwine with real historical events. A 19th century murder, an 18th century crime, a public execution, and the excavation of a cursed relic. Witness reports from Victorian times to the present day have kept the legends alive and well, added to by paranormal researchers and London's thriving folklore scene. Some attribute the sightings to natural explanations, echoing noises, infrasound, things bouncing off the walls of tunnels. But others swear by the paranormal accounts. Ultimately, the enduring tales of these four stations add an extra layer of mystique to the tube. They remind us that beneath the electrical hum of modern trains lies a shadowy world of memory and myth. Ghost or not, it is a fact that the London Underground was built through plague pits, churchyards, literally tunnelling through history. Maybe that's why so many ghost stories have taken root in these places. And the next time you find yourself taking a train, maybe pause and listen. That sound you hear might just be the wind. Or it might be one of these restless spirits continuing their eternal journey below ground. In the underground silent hours, the past and the present feel perilously close. And for those who truly believe, I wonder if they question when they get on a train which takes them deep underground of the city centre, if they'll ever leave that truly dark realm. So that brings us to an end of our first video edition of Dark Realms. I hope you liked it. Let me know in the comments if so. Believe me, I've never done this before, so it's probably awful, and I'm okay with that. And of course, if you're listening on audio, please go over and check the video out on YouTube, and vice versa, if you're new to the show and you're watching this for the first time, search for The Dark Paranormal wherever you get your podcasts.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.